I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, October the 1st, 2007 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. And you know what? I have got a great, great week coming up for you guys. First of all, today, what I'm going to do, remember the 8 prosecutors that were fired, okay? The U.S. prosecutors were fired in the administration. Have you ever wondered why, the reason why they got fired? Well, guess what I'm going to tell you today? Oh, it's going to be so fun. But I want to tell you why it's such a great week coming up. But before I do, I want to remind you to give Robbie Noel a call at 800-691-7898. And if you haven't already bought some gold, you need to buy some gold or silver. It's shooting up like a rocket, folks. And I'm telling you, it's a sure bet. Also, if you have not yet tuned in to John Stadtmiller and James Martinez's show, Cash Flow, I would strongly urge you to do so because it gives you some great ideas on getting out of debt and protecting yourself. And speaking of protecting yourself, let me give you a quick update on what I've got coming up this week because it's going to be exciting. First of all, tomorrow I've got Jim Kerwin. Now, Jim Kerwin is a journalist. Wrote an article, just came out in Rents, actually, yesterday, called In the Twilight Zone. And a lot of you know, I mention that all the time. I feel like I wake up every day in the Twilight Zone. He's written an article about it, and we're going to talk about that, a little bit about the impending possibility of an attack on Iran. That's going to be a great show. Wednesday, remember, we've got the Clinton debate. And I want to remind everybody, I want you to call your friends, neighbors, relative, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, and I want you to listen in because for those of you who have been listening, I have John Hankey on my show every Wednesday. And lately, we've been talking about the Holocaust, which is a whole other story I'll get into in a minute. But last week, we talked about having a debate on Clinton. And it seems to me like this gentleman is kind of a Clinton sympathizer, and I don't know for sure, but it's almost like I'm thinking he might vote for Hillary Clinton. Anyway, we're going to have the Clinton debate Wednesday, and we're going to see if we can set him straight a little bit. That should be fun. Now, Thursday morning, first hour, or actually Thursday when my show starts, first hour, I'm going to have John Onesti on, and we're going to talk for an hour about how to hold on to your money during this crisis. That'll be good. And second hour, now get this, folks. I've got a number of emails. Remember the last couple of weeks, John Hankey's been talking about the Holocaust and how the banking system was behind it and so forth. Well, I've got Mark Weber coming up Thursday. He's the chief editor of the Institute of Historical Review. Now, I've already asked Mark, and John doesn't know this, but I've already asked Mark. He doesn't quite agree with John Hankey on, I'm thinking, a number of issues. So I've asked Mark if he would debate John Hankey. And he said, yes, I'll do that anytime. Well, John Hankey doesn't know that yet. But what we're going to do is we're going to see if we can just kind of get them both on the same line and pit them up against one another. In this corner, we'll have John Hankey. In that corner, we'll have Mark Weber. And then we'll just kind of light the fireworks and see what happens. What do you think? I think that's a great idea. Let's see. What else have I got here? Oh, yeah, I want to remind you, everybody, go into my website, www.theamericanawakening.org. And I'll tell you why. I mean, I've got a lot of new articles posted up there, a couple of video clips that you want to take a look at. I'll mention those in a minute. But there's also a test that you can take called Who to Vote for President. Now, I took the test, and Ron Paul's picture popped up. But if you're curious about who you want to vote for, or if you just want to see if you're right in line with Ron Paul, give it a shot. www.theamericanawakening.org. I'll be back in 3 with a little bit more. Stick with us. It's going to be a great show today.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening coming to you from live and cooler Phoenix, Arizona, John Stadtmiller. But send me that bumper sticker anyway. Okay, now, let's see. Who to vote for president? Go into my website, www.theamericanawakening.org. Click on interesting links, and it'll have a little thing there that you can actually take a test and see which candidate best fits your needs as far as, voting issues and so forth. Go in there, take the test, and it'll just basically tell you who to vote for. I did it, and Ron Paul popped right up. Now, also in the website, under that same link of interesting links, for those of you who have, or those new listeners, or for people who want to wake up the dumbed-down masses, you don't know how to do it, go into the website, click on the interesting links, and there's two videos in there that one of them is called Zeitgeist, Part 2 and 3. Drop an email to Freedom. This is Bobby at freedom777@safe-mail.net. And he will send you out free of charge a copy of Zeitgeist. Also, you can go in and Google Empire of the City. Now, both of these videos will tell you who these people are behind the scenes, where they came from, how they got here, what their plans are, and most importantly, especially in Empire of the City, they'll give you solutions as to what we can do about it. Now, as you know, we're all looking for solutions here. So, folks, on the last part of this, of part two of Empire of the City, they're going to give you a number of solutions, and most of which I think are fantastic solutions, and we all need to wake people up and get those solutions out there. Now, shifting gears a little bit, what I'm going to do today first hour is I'm going to play a couple clips for you. Now, I'm going to take you back. Let's go down memory lane. Not too long ago, and we remember when the eight U.S. prosecutors were fired, and we really never got an explanation for it. They just went by the wayside for some unknown and covert, you know, clandestine reason, whatever. They're gone. So did we ever find out why? No, we didn't. They never told us. Now, and we also know that just recently Karl Rove resigned. And Alberto Gonzalez resigned. I see. Well, does any of that tie in at all? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just take a look, shall we? What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a clip, and I forgive me because I'm not real sure the exact date of this clip, and it's quite a lengthy clip. It's a little over 10 minutes, so I'm going to play it all the way up to the break, and if we run over a little bit, actually it'll go on past the break. This is a clip by Keith Olbermann talking about Robert Wexler grilling Alberto Gonzalez. And this is all going to tie in, folks, but bear with me and listen real closely to this clip. Here we go. Let's see. Let me set this up, and there we go.
Good evening from New York. Chairman Patrick Leahy of the Senate Judiciary Committee warned the Attorney General of the United States to keep his infamous "I don't recall" answers to a minimum. Is 74 a minimum? I don't recall. Our fifth story on the countdown, the Attorney General's make-or-break hearing before the Senate today, looking to be irreparably broken, certainly in the eyes of at least one conservative senator. But that does not mean the White House is ready to toss him to the curb. Mr. Gonzalez today defending his controversial decision to fire eight U.S. attorneys, insisting, however, that his involvement was limited, which in turn left some senators dumbfounded. Republican Arlen Specter, for one, calling that characterization significantly, if not totally, at variance with the facts. Senator Specter also reminding Mr. Gonzalez that his track record about preparedness is embarrassingly poor.
Now, let me review some of the record with you. And we don't have much time, and it's necessary to go through it at a rather summary basis. But I know you're familiar with this record, because I know you've been preparing for this this hearing.
I prepare for every hearing, Senator.
Do you prepare for all your press conferences? Were you prepared for the press conference where you said there weren't any discussions involving you?
Senator, I've already said that I misspoke. It was my mistake.
I'm asking you, were you prepared? You interjected that you're always prepared. Were you prepared for
that
press conference?
Senator, I didn't say that I was always prepared. I said I prepared for every hearing.
Well, and I'm asking you, do you prepare for your press conferences?
Senator, we do take time to try to prepare for the press conference.
And were you prepared when you said you weren't involved in any deliberations?
Senator, I've already conceded that I misspoke at that press conference. There was nothing intentional. And the truth of the matter is, Senator,
let's move on. I don't think you're going to win a debate about your preparation, frankly. But let's get to the facts. I'd like you to win this debate. Attorney General Gonzalez, I'd like you to win this debate.
I apologize.
But you're going to have to win it.
As to the collective answer to the question, did he know what was going on or did he not have any clue, as it became painfully obvious which was the correct answer, those other answers, those 74 I can't recalls, were perhaps more painful still. In one such instance, the Attorney General could not remember when he had made the decision to go through with the firing plan or on what the decision had been based, only that he had made the decision. Sometime.
After the work had been completed, Mr. Sampson brought me recommendations. I accepted those recommendations. Those were my decisions. I accept full responsibility for those decisions.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yes.
You're prepared to say that you made the decision to fire these seven U.S. attorneys on that day, December 7th.
I don't recall exactly when I made the decision.
All right. And you're testifying to us that you made these decisions without ever looking at the performance reports.
Senator, that is correct. Again,
okay, that's what I wanted to know.
The Attorney General also denied that politics played any role in the decision to fire those eight federal attorneys, an explanation that even some Republicans found hard to believe.
Is this really performance-based, or do these people just run afoul of personality conflicts in the office and we were trying to make up reasons to fire them because we wanted to get rid of them?
Sir, I think if you look at the documentation, I think you can see that there is documentation supporting these decisions.
See, Mr. Attorney General, most of this is a stretch. I think it's clear to me that some of these people just had personality conflicts with people in your office or at the White House, and you know, we made up reasons to fire them. Some of it sounds good, some of it doesn't, and that's the lesson to be learned here.
Sir, I respectfully disagree with that. I really do.
If the Attorney General had gone into the lunch break thinking he had been doing a good job, once he returned, the senators did not take long to disabuse him of that notion in particular. Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, a Republican, a conservative Republican, saying the Attorney General ought to be judged by the very same standards with which he had judged the fired federal prosecutors.
Mr. Attorney General, it's my considered opinion that the exact same standards should be applied to you and how this was handled. It was handled incompetently. The communication was atrocious. It was inconsistent. It's generous to say that there were misstatements. It's a generous statement, and I believe you ought to suffer the consequences that these others have suffered. And I believe the best way to put this behind us is your resignation.
And if you thought that would have been enough to convince the president to demand or even just accept the resignation of Mr. Gonzalez, think again. White House Press Secretary, Deputy Press Secretary Dana Perino issuing a statement tonight saying, quote, President Bush was pleased with the Attorney General's testimony today. After hours of testimony in which he answered all of the senator's questions and provided thousands of pages of documents, he again showed that nothing improper occurred. He admitted the matter could have been handled much better, and he apologized for the disruption to the lives of the U.S. attorneys involved, as well as for the lack of clarity in his initial responses. The Attorney General has the full confidence of the President. Let's turn now to our own Richard Wolff, senior White House correspondent for Newsweek magazine. Richard, good evening.
Good evening, Keith.
It had seemed as if the White House was leaving Mr. Gonzalez to dig himself out of that hole that he was in. It certainly did not seem as if he'd done that today. Republicans on the committee certainly did not seem to think he had done so. One of them called for him to quit. And now the press secretary said the president did not see any of the testimony. So where does it come from that the president would say that he has given him his full confidence once again?
You know, this is the kind of full confidence you never want your bosses to express in you. And I guess the White House has learned from Gonzalez here the kind of defense that, well, I agree with everything that happened except I can't recall anything that happened and I never was there. This is a kind of structured comment, a formulaic comment from Dana Perino in public, from the podium. I can tell you behind the scenes, off camera, all of these expressions of confidence have a caveat. Well, he has full confidence. The president has full confidence, but it's up to Gonzalez to show that he should really keep his job and not quit. And it's those caveats that people are picking up on the Hill and obviously bringing out into the public, even those Republicans.
When Mr. Rumsfeld left defense in 2006 after the midterm elections, it was that tipping point, the midterms, that brought about, certainly hastened, timed perhaps, his resignation. Even after the testimony today, even after a White House apologist such as Senator Cornyn said that the way the investigation has been handled has been, his phrase was really deplorable, is that what is missing here? Do we not have that midterm election-sized tipping point about Gonzalez?
Well, there are two scenarios for him to go. One is, yes, the chief of staff, Josh Bolton, goes and says, time's up, as he did with Don Rumsfeld. You know, the president's friends say that the more the Democrats push, the more anyone pushes for any member of his administration to go, the more the president will resist. It's a macho thing. It's a question of who's the decider. So let's say that one's really off the table. The second scenario is that Gonzalez walks because, in his own words, he decides that he's no longer effective. I think you can safely conclude that when Arlen Specter, the senior Republican on the committee, eviscerates you in a hearing, you're no longer effective.
Of course, the whole point about the Democrats pushing for his resignation would have to be accepted in this context, that the best thing that happens politically for the Democrats is for him to stay in that position, is it not?
As a piece of strategy, yes. Yep. I think the Democrats have enjoyed this hugely.
The Attorney General testified today that he thought that appointing new U.S. attorneys without Senate approval under that act, part of the Patriot Act, was a dumb idea that he never liked. Is that to some degree beside the point, though, Richard? I mean, he's not...
All right, we've got to stop it right there. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening. And stick with me. I got more.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Now, there's a couple of minutes left of that clip, folks, but I'm not going to play any more of it because you pretty much get the drift. I'm going to go over it real quick here. 74 times Alberto Gonzalez asserted that he didn't recall answers regarding the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. He didn't recall. Now, also, they were fired on December 7th. Now, folks, I want you to remember that day because it's going to come into play here in just a little bit. He also asserted that he didn't look at their records. Well, if he didn't look at their records, then why did they get fired? This is all going to become quite clear and concise very shortly, but I'm going to keep you on the fence for a minute. They also asserted, what was it? I made a mistake there. It was Arlen Specter that was grilling him, not Henry Waxman. But they were talking about personality conflicts. And no, I don't think it had anything to do with personality conflicts because Alberto Gonzalez didn't look at their records to begin with. And there's, how would I want to put this? There's There's a bigger fly in the ointment than that, but we're going to get to that in a little bit. The president said that he was pleased with the testimony of Alberto Gonzalez, but yet he didn't see the testimony. How could you be pleased with something that you didn't see? See, this is all going to make sense shortly, folks, because it wouldn't make any difference if Alberto Gonzalez went into that Senate hearing and sang ta-ra-ra-boom-dee. Bush would have been pleased with it, and you're going to find out why in just a little bit. But I'm still going to keep you on the fence here. Now, Gonzalez agreed with everything that happened, but he didn't know what happened because he wasn't there. That was basically his excuse. He agreed with everything that happened, but he tried to lay it off and said, well, you know, I agree with everything that happened, but I really didn't know what happened because I really wasn't there when it happened. So it's basically, you know, the song, the quick song and dance. It's the Texas soft shoe, if you will, to try to duck and dodge. And although he did, I would say, you know, as good a job that one could do when they would be faced in a situation like that, and I'm sure maybe some of you have been in a situation, not necessarily in congressional hearings, but maybe in a court of law where, you know, the hammer's about to come down on you, and because I've been there, I was there years ago, and I know that there's this very anxious feeling, sometimes a little bit intimidated. And also, you know, you've got several emotions that are going on within you at one time. So I have to give Gonzalez credit for this much. He performed as well as he could under the circumstances. Although we see that ultimately what happened was Gonzalez resigned. So you say, well, why did Gonzalez resign? Why did the U.S. attorneys get fired? We're about to find out. But I'm still going to leave you on the hook for a little bit. Now, what I'm going to do in the next segment is, I'm sure a lot of you out there know who Greg Palast is. Greg Palast is a journalist. He wrote for the BBC. He covered Katrina. I mean, the guy's a very, very, very well-known journalist. And I've got a clip of him, which is going to take the entire next segment. It's going to be 15 minutes, and I want you to listen very closely to what Greg has to say, the journalistic research he's done, what he's uncovered, and take notes, if you will. Okay? And remember that date, December the 7th, because something happened on December 7th that was over and beyond what happened when they fired these U.S. attorneys. And it's typical, it's par for the course of what this administration does to people when they carry out their atrocious deeds. You know, they're little minions, they're little compartmentalized buzzards that go out there, and they, the yes men, the goose-stepping Nazis that go out there and they salute, they take care of orders, and they carry out what it is that they're supposed to carry out. Then instead of being reprimanded for doing some atrocity, they're rewarded and they're promoted to a higher position. Keep that date in mind, folks, okay, because it's going to play in here just to show you the character of this administration all the way up through to the top, okay? Now, these eight prosecutors, I'm certain, were forthright. They were dedicated. They were real Americans. They really believed that they were doing a job. They really believed in standing up and swearing allegiance to the Constitution. And that's probably part of why they were fired. They were going to blow the whistle, I believe. Okay? And after you listen to this 15-minute clip with Greg Palast, I think you're going to believe the same. Let's see, what else have I got here before? How long can I keep you on hold? I know that, you know, the tension's building up. Give me a drum roll here. When we get back from the break, I'm going to play this clip from Greg Palast. I want you to pay very close attention. I'm going to comment on it when the clip is over, okay? And at the end of this clip, we're going to know why these eight prosecutors were fired. We're going to know why nothing was ever said about it to us. And we're going to know why Alberto Gonzalez resigned. We're going to know why Karl Rove resigned. And I'm sure it's not all of it, but it's part of it. We're also going to know probably why Tony Snow walked and why these people are deserting ship. We'll be back in three. Oh, and by the way, It could have been one of the biggest scandals to ever hit this country. We'll be back in three. Stick with me, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I got a lot more for you. Call your friends and neighbors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Are you on the edge of your seat yet, folks? Tell you what, I'm going to play this clip from Greg Palast, the investigative research that he has uncovered. It's an amazing story. It's basically by accident that he got onto this thing, and it's kind of funny. This is going to take us all the way through to the next break, but pay very close attention. This is something that you want to tell your friends, neighbors, and relatives. Get them to listen to the show, folks. It's the only way they're going to find this stuff out. They'll never hear it on mainstream news. So here we go. Greg Palast for the next 15 minutes.
We got to get started because I was just reading last week that the Wall Street Journal said reasons for firing U.S. prosecutors unclear. Let's blow away the fog, huh? Let me start with this. A letter, email from Karl Rove, his team. Actually, it's the first review of our man, as it subpoenaed, dated February 7th. It says, that guy is a British reporter. All right, let's get this straight, Mr. Rove. I'm American. You may be un-American. Oh, let's get the facts straight. But it says, his investigation has not been picked up by U.S. national media. You know? And he attached a little copy of our maps, which you're not reading. He did a PDF at the next. So what's he gloating about? What aren't you reading? What is the reason for the firing of the U.S. prosecutors? Maybe we can clear that up. And it begins here. It begins on the night, it says here, 1:05 a.m. on November 3rd, 2004. These are CNN's balls. You recognize that? No. The little globe things that they put on to show the exit polls. This is from the state of Ohio. Recognize them, Bobby? And it says, this is what people thought they voted for. It says, among males, John Kerry defeated George Bush by 51% to 49%. But among females, George Bush lost to John Kerry by 47% to 53%. Okay, class. What's the third sex that puts George over the top? We call them the disappeared. Okay. Residual votes, they call them, the vote business. Rejected votes, spoiled votes. Well, how do votes spoil? They put them out, leave them out of their fridge? Or, no. Whose votes are they? That's the real issue. Okay. So I dug into the dumpster of stinky spoiled votes with statisticians from Harvard Law School, with statisticians from the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. We made a little pile of the votes spoiled in white-majority precincts, and then we made another pile. We got on a ladder and made a pile of the votes taken from the black-majority precincts. If you're an African-American in the United States, the chance your vote will get rejected, lost, mangled, uncounted, spoiled, is 900% higher than if you're a white American. If you're Hispanic, 500% higher than if you're a white voter. And if you're Native American, 2,000% higher than if you are a pale face. Kid you not. Now, votes uncounted. Votes uncounted in Ohio disappeared. 153,237 uncounted votes. Compare that to George Bush's victory. Well, let's talk about New Mexico. We always talk about Ohio. I'll leave that at the bottom. Okay? Let's talk about New Mexico, where George Bush defeated John Kerry by 5,900 votes, not counting 30,000 votes. Now, 153,237 were not counted in Ohio. But what about in the United States of America? No one got that one. In the USA, 3,006,380 votes were not counted in the United States, for which we stand now. You do the arithmetic. Look at New Mexico, 5,900 votes. Victory for George Bush, 30,000 not counted. 900%. Let's do the arithmetic. 900% X times plus 500% Y, 2,000 Z. If you got through George Bush's No Child Behind Left program, then you would know. Look at the demographics at 88%. 88% of the votes cast and not counted in New Mexico were cast in minority precincts. That's typical of the United States. You tell me who won the presidency. Kerry won. Now get over it. Because, see, they're stealing 2008. Now, I'm often asked, are they going to steal 2008? No. They've already stolen it. And I'll explain how. That's in the new edition of our madhouse, The Theft of 2008, because they've already grabbed it. Now, how do I know this? Well, Carl Rove sent me an email. Yeah. You know, the House Judiciary Committee is missing several thousand emails from Rove's office. He used the RNC and the Bush campaign email server, right? And his minions and the Rove bots. Well, anyway, don't worry, Congressman Conyers. I have 500 of them. I do. Yeah. How'd I get them? So why would Carl send me an email with his scheme for 2004 and 2008? Well, I know a lot of you think that Rove is an evil genius. Actually, you're only half right. See, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. With those little soft hands, he was typing away, and his guys, and they, you know, they're typing away their evil little schemes to their buddies at georgewbush.org. Unfortunately, their web domain is georgewbush.com, and .org is owned by John Wooten. Stand up here, John. I think he's here. And John owns georgewbush.org, and he got 500 of Rove's email, and he sent them to Greg Palast at BBC. Now, wait a minute, guys. This is a personal, confidential email from the Republican National Committee, Mr. Rove. And BBC said, are you going to read his confidential email? And they said, get back to us in 2 days. Yeah. So we went through them. 500. We went through the weirdest 70 of them. Because each of those 70 had attached to it something called a caging list. Caging list. Here's another caging list. Carl, here's another caging list. Oh, another caging list. What's a caging list? So they were Excel spreadsheets with names of voters. Okay? Well, all right. So we started plotting them, putting them on maps. Where are these voters? Where do they come from? And while we were doing this, and I kid you not, a 60 Minutes producer came into our offices and said, wow, to figure out what this stuff means, I mean, you'd have to, like, spend hundreds of hours, and you have to make, like, hundreds of phone calls. And our staff was looking at them, and I said, when was the last time you guys slept? 80 hours ago. So I turned to 60 Minutes producer and said, oh, that's reporting. Don't worry, it won't hurt you. Try it. See, it's from the Yogi Berra School of Reporting. You know, like the 3,006,080 votes that were not, that were cast and not counted. You know, they didn't come from Greg Palast's black helicopter. They're actually in the raw data of the United States Election Assistance Commission. Okay? And in other words, see, as I explained to 60 Minutes, it's, as Yogi Berra said, it's amazing what you can see when you look. Now, several hundred thousand voters on these lists, we mapped them, very black. We looked at the demographics, very Hispanic. So now what? Why were they on Carl's list? BBC said, take a camera crew and go ask him. Okay. Well, we went to Mr. Rove's office and Washington, D.C., they flew in from London, and we said, lose something? Tell us what it is, and we'll show you. Give it back. Carl threw me out. But then they sent, scattering after us, a PR woman who had this big double Slurpee in her hand with a straw sticking out, which led me to realize that we now had proof that you are what you suck. I'm not quite sure what that means. So I said, lose something? One of her scampering minions said, that's our donor list. Okay. 234 State Street West, Jacksonville. A lot of people at that address. 234 State Street West, Jacksonville. A lot of people at that address. Okay. State Street Rescue Mission for the Homeless. Said, hold a lot of Bush Cheney dinners there? They said, no, we let them lick the plates. No, that made that up. No, but that was it. So I said, you get another try. We never heard from them. Who was on this list? Who's on this list? Well, these people all live at the same, have the same voting address. thousands of people at the same voting address. See, what they were doing is they were saying that these were suspect voters. Voters voting from a suspect address. And therefore, they could be challenged. Okay, when they show up to vote. You can't vote, you can't vote. You think this is small stuff. We had 70,000 names on this one list for one state. Okay? Now, you know how many votes are challenged in 2004 election? 3 million. According to the U.S. federal government. And you read that in Times, right? Maybe it didn't fit the print. 3 million. Now, this was a pretty suspect address. They're all coming from the same place. They couldn't all live there, could they? Shirley Craig, Naval Air Station, Jacksonville. Prentice Davis, Naval Air Station, Jacksonville. Joey Dupree, Naval Air Station, Jacksonville. Naval Air Station, Jacksonville. Naval Air Station, you get the idea? Okay. Soldiers, sailors, airmen, African American, Hispanic. Now, it's in the new Armada. Now, you see it yourself. Why? See, what they were doing was they were sending letters by the hundreds of thousands. First class, this is a multi-million dollar first class electronic lynching operation. Sent letters to these voters. Do not forward. They're sent back. Return to sender. They had stamped undeliverable. And that was evidence that these voters were, they said, did not live at these addresses, should not be allowed to vote. Their absentee ballots should not be allowed to vote. And so we called them, as we told 60 Minutes, that you had to do. Indeed, we called lots of them. And one of them, Randy Prousa. Okay? Mrs. Prousa, where is Randall? He's not here. Does he live there? No, he doesn't. He doesn't live there, but he votes from that address, huh? Yes, well, where is he? He's been shipped overseas. See, I mailed the letters to the soldiers when they were shipped to Baghdad. The letters came back undelivered, and they used it to challenge a vote. Prousa sent in his absentee ballot. It was challenged. He didn't even know it, and it's thrown away. Go to Baghdad. Lose your vote. Mission accomplished, Mr. President. And we do have an elections attorney here, and I think that he can verify for me that you are allowed to vote if you're shivering under a Humvee in Fallujah from using your home address, right? Using your home address if you're a soldier, even if you're an African American soldier. Is that correct? Yeah. Now, why was this subpoenaed by Mr. Conyers and the review of my book from Mr. Roth? Well, you've all heard about the firings of the eight U.S. prosecutors. But who did they put in to replace them? See, if you look at our madhouse, you'll find a copy of an email with the name of the guy that Carl, he can't do everything with those little soft hands, that he put in charge of the African soldier blackout. And his name is Tim Griffin. You know where Timmy is today? See, on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, they fired 8 prosecutors and they named Tim Griffin U.S. prosecutor for Arkansas. Now, as I hope Bobby will elaborate, see, we asked Republicans, was this a challenge list when we saw those caging lists? They said, oh, no. Ooh, that's why the whole thing about the donors. It's not a challenge list. You know why? They wouldn't fess up. I mean, after all, if the voters are illegal, maybe they shouldn't vote. Well, the answer is, it's against the law. Voting Rights Act 1965, it's a breaking rocks on a chain gang felony to target voters where race is a factor. Okay? So in other words, the perpetrator became the prosecutor. Mission accomplished.
All right, folks, there you have it. Now, we're going to come up to a break here in just a minute, but I'm going to go through this for you. December 7th, the fella that was put in charge of this entire thing, Tim Griffin, the day that those eight prosecutors were fired, Tim Griffin was promoted to the chief prosecutor in Arkansas. So I'm going to go through this. What happened here? 3,006,380 votes were not counted. They stole the 2004 election. That's really no secret. Most of us know that. But now we know how they did it. Because Karl Rove made a mistake, and instead of putting georgewbush.com, he put georgewbush.org, and he sent 500 emails to John Wooten, who owns that address. And he turned around and gave them to Greg Palast at BBC. And in those emails, he said there was a caging list. This is premeditated, folks. The names of the voters on that list, and thousands, tens of thousands of names on that list had the same address, 234 State Street, West Jacksonville, Florida, which was a rescue mission for the homeless. But see, the government knew it. They knew it. We'll be back in three. I'll cover a little bit more of this, folks. Stick with me. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I got a lot more.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Short segment coming up to the top of the hour. And we're talking about the reasons that Karl Rove and Alberto Gonzalez happened to walk. The reason the eight prosecutors got fired. Karl Rove sent out 500 emails to the wrong email address, intercepted by and owned by John Wooten, who turned it over to Greg Palast at the BBC. He alleges a caging list, names of voters. Okay? One address, 234 State Street, West Jacksonville, Florida, the rescue mission for the homeless. They knew there would be tens and tens and tens of thousands of voters. And they sent out these letters to these voters that said, do not forward. And they get all these letters back. Obviously, they knew they would get them back. Hispanics, blacks, people in the military, the Naval Air Station in Jacksonville, they sent letters to the voters that said, do not forward. Of course, the people weren't going to be there, but they knew that they weren't going to be there because they knew that their orders had already said that they were shipped out to Iraq or Afghanistan or any other place in the world. So they came back, and they used that as that evidence for to be a suspect voter. 3,006,380 votes. Now, I'm not saying, folks, that had John Kerry been elected, it would have been any better. Because they're both skull and bones, we all know. But this is a crime. And the gentleman that Alberto Gonzalez instructed and hired to do this, Tim Griffin, was promoted to the U.S. prosecutor in Arkansas, the head prosecutor in Arkansas, the same day those eight prosecutors were fired. The heat was being turned up on Rove and Gonzalez. And the subpoenas were ultimately going to start flying. And they had to do something. So what did they do? They certainly didn't have personality conflicts with these eight prosecutors. It's certainly because more, you know, one or two or three of them didn't get in a minor argument or scuffle or debate with somebody. No, they knew a lot more. And these eight prosecutors that got fired were among the, who knows whether it's a majority or a minority, but they were among the honest prosecutors that took an oath to uphold the Constitution, swore to it, and believed in it. And I believe that these prosecutors were going to start the subpoenas flying, and I believe that these people knew they were getting close. Did you see that speech, very short speech, when Alberto Gonzalez resigned? Did you see how terse he was in his statements, how short? Little bead of sweat on his brow. This man knew it was time to leave. The eight prosecutors. I don't know. I have no idea how much a prosecutor makes a year. I imagine $100,000. Can you imagine? Devastate these people. Take them out of a job. Honest ones, evidently. Okay. Take them out of a job. Send them packing on the street. Get your desk. Get your stuff out of your desk. Get out. Get out now. And why do you do that? Because you might uncover something on your boss. And he can't afford that. Neither can his boss, George W. Henceforth, remember, George talking about what a wonderful job Alberto Gonzalez did, and he didn't even hear what he said. He could have whistled Dixie in that hearing, and George Bush would have backed him up because they were all sweating. And so George Bush's brain, Karl Rove, is now gone. Alberto Gonzalez is gone. Tony Snow is gone. And I think now we know why. I'll be back in 2 minutes. Second hour coming up. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me. I got more.
Nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price. And I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back.
With reason.